Hello, hello, and welcome to In Practopia. Kim Jo here with you, the show starring the Caribbean, featuring its people, places, and things. I'm happy that you're here with me for another In Practopia. Today on the show, my guest is Dr. Sylvia Charles, economist, who will be talking about how the Caribbean can grow its economies. Also on the show, we have Did You Know? Fastest Growing Caribbean Economies, and also Ode to the Caribbean Quote, and of course, the announcement of next week's guest. You know the routine. The show always starts with announcements. Last week, I told you about our rate and review box option on every podcast and ITV video page on the website. And I'm thrilled to announce that we have a comment. I had also said that once you write in the comments, we will feature it on the website and also read it on the show. So here we go with a comment from Tekla J, who said, "Wow, Kim, this episode was great. Never in my wildest dreams would I have imagined there was a need for fertility assistance in the Caribbean. Thank you. This was very informative." Tekla was referring to the episode on medical tourism, my interview with Dr. Juliet Skinner, director of the Barbados Fertility Center. So I'm glad we were able to bring that piece of informative information to you. Thank you so much for sending us your comment. Also, we've gone past 10 shows. So, you know, this is good for me. This is good for us. We have our guests coming, like I said, and In Practopia is continuing to grow. Also, a gentle reminder to send in your pictures of places you visited or people you know who visited the Caribbean. Send that to us at info@inpractopia.com. We're starting to build our photo gallery, and soon we will launch that particular page on the website so we can share with you all the beautiful spots in the Caribbean as taken by people who visited a country down in the region. I also like to say that you can find us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio, and always we're available on the website. So visit, download, share as always, so that In Practopia can soon become a household name. Time now for Did You Know? Top 10 Growing Caribbean Economies. At number 10 is Grenada with 1.9%. Number 9, Trinidad and Tobago at 2%. Number 8, St. Lucia at 2.3%. Number 7, Bahamas at 2.3%. Number 6, Belize at 2.5%. And the top 5 growing economies, at number 5, St. Kitts and Nevis at 3.1%. Number 4, Haiti at 3.5%. Number 3, Suriname at 4.4%. Coming in at number 2 is Guyana with 4.5%. And at number 1, the top-ranked growing Caribbean economy is the Dominican Republic at 5%. These figures came from the United Nations Economic Commission for Latin America and the Caribbean, and these were their projections for growth in 2014. Now I invite you to listen to my chat with Dr. Sylvia Charles, economist, advocate for sustainable economic development. She's sharing her thoughts on how Caribbean economies can grow, what they need to do to keep us in step with trends in the world.
I had my first real working experience with the Institute of Social and Economic Research at the University of the West Indies. It's now called the Sir Arthur Lewis Institute. So I was based in Barbados, where I had studied for my first degree, but I'd also studied in Trinidad for the second degree and so on. So I worked with the Institute, and my research inevitably was about on the Caribbean. I went to Dominica and worked with the government of Dominica and holding post as economist, development economist, and chief technical officer for trade, industry, and tourism. Went back and did a stint again. You see, at most times I moved with my spouse, and he was posted to Barbados with UNESCO. So I moved back to Barbados, and I again worked with the Institute of Social and economic research. I have done consulting in the Caribbean, once with the Caribbean Tourism Organization, done short assignments with the CARICOM as part of a team, and I did quite a bit of consulting in Africa as well, because I did a study in South Africa, developing a sort of a strategy for critical appraisal of the tourism product. And I did the assembly in industries sector study in Botswana as part of a team. Actually, the team was Trinidadian, but because of my association with the team leader from our working together at the University of the West Indies, I was brought on the team. That time I was based in South Africa, so it was fairly easy to get across to Botswana. And there we were. I was looking at the automobile industry and the white goods sector, the fridges, etc., to see if they had the capacity to expand those industries. And by and large, South Africa was on their doorstep, very much involved in the automobile industry. I've done consulting in Nigeria for the Economic Community of West African States. And that was sort of different, because I was like an economist bringing my slant to the process of gender policy development and gender strategic framework. My partner then was a Ghanaian who was in the reproductive field. So she brought the social aspect, and we jointly developed the gender policy for West Africa. I also did some work in Mozambique.
Wow.
Like cost-benefit analysis for a customs reform project, a client survey for the World Bank there, you know, things like that.
Wow.
So I've done quite a bit of consulting. More recently, after leaving Africa, I did a two-year assignment in Grenada, coordinating their national development strategic plan, being the company of a physical planner. And by the way, she was from your country, St. Lucia. And a historical architect, engineers, and so on, and social development experts. And so we were able to do a plan which would definitely come, it would be interdisciplinary. And actually, I was exposed to interdisciplinary aspects even when I started working in Dominica, mm-hmm. because what I met in Dominica was a well-developed national parks and forestry department, so with a lot of emphasis on maintaining a pristine environment and that sort of thing.
Wow. You know what, Dr. Charles, I'm learning as I talk with more people that the Caribbean has so many able-bodied people who are qualified in so many different fields, so much so that we're lending our services to foreign countries.
We do have some skilled people. Many of our people are outside of the Caribbean, but we do have some who have stayed in the Caribbean and tried to stick it out, you know. And sometimes what we need is improved institutional frameworks to allow them to function to the best of their abilities.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be a movement that people get everybody on islands to get to support and get behind for those kinds of institutional changes to happen, so that the Caribbean, I think, can move so much quicker forward.
I agree with you, yes,
yeah.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. So I know you have a great love for Dominica. You live there, and you're very passionate about Dominica's natural resources. And mm-hmm. talk to me about what Dominica is doing to really take advantage of its natural resources and how that's affecting the growth of its economy.
Oh, well, yes. As I mentioned, they've always had this strong national parks and forestry department, and have tried to be very careful of the way the country's developed so that they maintain the pristine environment. The natural resources such as the flora, the fauna, the waterfalls, the rivers, and the hot spas.
Yes.
We have a number of those in a particular area. They're doing quite well. These serve as recreational activities for the locals, but also as attractions for the tourists. So you see the link with tourism. And as a matter of fact, the brand of tourism is that of ecotourism.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then you have the geothermal facilities, and they're promoting that as in an effort to bring down the cost of energy internally, but also for export to neighboring countries like Martinique and Guadeloupe.
Oh.
Yes, this is the intention. So they're in the process of constructing the production wells and that sort of thing. These things take time, so I don't know exactly when they will come on stream, but this is one area of excitement for Dominica. Well, of course, the land is an input into the agricultural sector, and Dominica has traditionally been an agricultural economy. Bananas are not the main export anymore.
That's been so
eclipsed by the services sector, you know, because which actually is comprised not only of tourism, but importantly of private education. Because I think, like St. Lucia and a number of the other islands, Dominica has a fairly thriving medical school, externally oriented medical school.
Yes.
Ross Medical, and there's another one as well. So these are the types of things that Dominica is doing. Oh, water, one of our important natural resources. This is being bottled, some of it exported. So I think that Dominica has done a fair job in trying to use its natural resources for its development. At the same time, trying to retain some of those resources so they're not depleted.
That's true. And Dominica has an abundance of water. So, Dr. Charles, you're in the States right now, and I know you do a lot of work with the Organization of Women of the Americas. Can you talk to me about that?
Well, yes. It's a nonprofit association, which is we are registered under with the Internal Revenue as a 501c3 association. Our mandate is to assist women and children in the Americas, which would include United States, the Latin countries, and the Caribbean countries who form part of the Organization of American States. We are supposed to sensitize the public, that's part of the mandate, on the needs of women and the issues facing women and children in the region. And importantly, to raise funds to address some of those needs. I must say that most of our attention has been in the fundraising area. I am currently the president, and before that, I served for 2 years as first vice president.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Now, the more interesting point, I think, for listeners is where the proceeds go.
Yes.
And proceeds have been given to charities in our region. We have made donations to Dominican Republic. We had support to Haiti in the aftermath of that 2010 earthquake.
Yes.
Support to children with special needs in El Salvador. Support to children and adolescents in high-risk situations, Bolivia. Support to vulnerable children and adolescents, Dominican Republic. Early childhood education in Dominica as well as St. Vincent and the Grenadines. They have a roving caregivers program.
Yes. I actually had a conversation with Penny Bowen in Barbados about that. I'm a donor to the FDCC.
Oh
my goodness, this is coming full circle.
Yes, you see, that's it. Recreational activity for children in poor communities, Costa Rica, skills training for marginal youth, Antigua, prevention of violence, exploitation, and trafficking in persons, Guatemala, assistance to an audiovisual center at a school in Chile, breast and survival cancer care, St. Kitts Nevis, pediatric care, Washington, D.C., through the Spanish Catholic Center, and this year in particular to the National Children's Health Network, I think that's what it's called. And in June this year, we made a donation personally because I was on spot in Paraguay in the course of the OAS General Assembly, and made a donation to an institution that offers free surgery to children with cleft lips and palate.
Oh, that's wonderful. Tell me what made you join this organization. Was it something, your love for women and the advancement of children that made you choose this organization? Because I know there are a bunch of organizations that people can volunteer their time for. What was it about this organization that made you want to be a part of?
Well, firstly, the membership is open to female ambassadors, spouses of ambassadors, other persons designated by their missions, those accredited to the OAS, and you have associates as well. But I must say that I had been involved in charities in Nigeria, in Africa, on the world, but mostly in Nigeria, where we had the Spouses Association, and I was like, what, first vice president in one of the organizations. At that time, all the proceeds went to charities within Nigeria, right? So I've always had that love, but also my work in gender would have actually attracted me to this type of organization as well. So, so I'm representing Dominica when I participate in that activity, you see? But there are many reasons why I'm drawn to it and participated so fully.
Okay. Would you say that that women and children in general in the Caribbean are on a positive growth development path?
I would think that there's always more that can be done. From my experience, say, in Dominica, you do have, and not only Dominica, when it comes to education, women's in most of those islands outnumber men at the secondary school level, even at the university level at one time when I had checked the statistic, and probably it's still the same. So that women, there's no problem impeding girls from education in the Caribbean, that's one. At the workplace, you also have quite a few women, you know, taking the places that we would say probably are reserved in some other countries for men, mm-hmm. you know, so we don't have that kind of difficulty. But there are some subtle problems, like how women and men negotiate certain things. You know, I think these are some of the issues that we have okay. in the Caribbean.
And I know, Dr. Charles, you have some thoughts on how Caribbean countries can further grow their economies. Would you mind sharing that with me?
First, I would like to preface it by saying that there was a time when the Caribbean was growing in a robust manner. As a matter of fact, the World Bank had done a study in 2005, and I think it was called A Time to Choose, and they had indicated that at one point, some of the islands were doing so well that they were catapulted into the category of middle-income countries, and they were able to promote a high level of human development. But that was during, what, the 60s and 70s? But by the 80s and 90s, our growth rates had begun to decline and our productivity levels had lowered. So they were saying it was time for action. Now, prior to the global crisis, we had, we'll say, modest growth rates. But as you are fully aware, the crisis has really rocked us back in. Yes. And right now we seem to be on a path of low growth, some countries low growth. And so we have to wonder, how can we improve the situation? And as a matter of fact, in the World Bank study had indicated that one of the reasons for the low growth was that the burden of growth rested on the public sector. Our private sectors are small, mm-hmm. and particularly in the OECD countries, very small private sectors. So I think there's room for an economic intelligence function. In other words, we have to have units within each country, and probably at the level of the OECS, because, you know, the OECS is a regional yes. organization, and at the CARICOM level as well, some intelligence, economic intelligence mechanism, so that people look at trends to see what markets are open, because you see it's a dynamic situation, so things are shifting all the time, and to see where the opportunities lie.
Yes.
Definitely. We have to, and I think some of this is ongoing now, probably at the East Caribbean Currency Union, mm-hmm. which is based in St. Kitts. Sir Dwight has been talking also yes. about trying to grow the private sector, and that is definitely an issue. How does one grow the private sector and establish business support services for the promising small and medium enterprises and things like that? We have to look for niches, and if we're selling products, because there's a myriad of products out there, how do we differentiate ours from others so that we really lock in markets? Now, we also have to address supply constraints, because what you find is that sometimes we get a market for a product, but we are not able to meet the supply on a regular basis.
That's true.
And we have to be proactive in meeting the standards that are required by the marketplace. There are a number of these marketing agreements that we have signed into, and some of the procedures may be complicated, but our trade officers, I suspect they may be knowledgeable about them, but they now need to sit with the firms and help take them through the procedures. There's need for pooling resources across the region. Firms probably should link up across the region so that they're able to address the supply question. They're able to pool their resources and invest in research and development.
I do think that with the way CARICOM is opening up itself into island-wide, people can move around for travel and investment. Do you think that those negotiations and how we're opening up ourselves, is that going to be able to take care of some of the growth issues that we're suffering from?
It would help. It will help. But what we need for our persons at the border to respect the agreements, because sometimes you still find difficulties in those areas. We have to build supportive institutional frameworks, both in the public and private sectors, because sometimes you find there's this disconnect between, let's say, political directorates and their senior management, and between the senior management and the technocrats and with the middle management. So what you need is sort of partnerships and unity of purpose. And I say this from my experience in a number of countries. Not singling out any particular country. If we have the institutional frameworks that can then allow talent to flourish and support creativity and innovation, and of course creativity, some of it is innate, but some of it can grow because of the support that is given.
Yes.
We will find creative persons, will identify the types of activities that we can move into. And so that is my hope for the Caribbean.
I support that, and I really believe that, especially when you talk about the creative aspect of that can be developed, whether it's innately or something that happens over time when you can actually see the potential or that creativity coming out. So I really hope that the Caribbean, all of the different countries, can open itself up for all of those things. And then I believe that the Caribbean, because of who we are, we can turn things around, but over time.
Over time,
and
yes.
And it would seem like so. It happened overnight, because we had a whole bunch of people, everybody on board in actually making that happen.
We do. We have to have everyone on board. And people must feel that they have opportunity to do the things that would make them happy, the things that would motivate them. You know, that's what makes a person want to be excited about going on the job. You know, that's that sort of thing.
Yeah,
I see that excitement in the Caribbean.
Let me say thank you again to Dr. Charles for chatting with me. This is really a world-traveled lady who has done her bit in the Caribbean and Africa, lending a hand her expertise and all that she's done to help economies grow and stand out. So I applaud her for that. And how about the work she's doing with the Organization of Women of the Americas, helping out women and children and doing all that she can along with these other ladies to continuously keep the Caribbean and countries in the Americas moving forward. This week's Ode to the Caribbean quote comes from Elliot Abrams, who says legislation for the Caribbean basin has led to more jobs in the Dominican Republic. Hey, if it means better social and economic power for people, count me in for that. That's our show for this week. Thank you for staying throughout. Next week, my guest is Miss Nalo Hopkinson, award-winning author of science fiction and fantasy novels. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, download the podcast on iTunes and Stitcher, and I'll see you next time right here in Practopia.